Today's daf is Lamed Bet, Kiddushin Lamed Bet. We're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Bet, at the second wide line, Tana Rabbanan, Mechabdo B'chayav U'Mechabdo B'moto. Okay, we ended yesterday with this very strange story about the rabbi who wanted to go greet his mother and ask permission and didn't necessarily understand, you know, first didn't get permission, then kind of sort of got permission, wasn't sure. By the time it all worked out, the Aron was already on its way. And apparently I realized this thing about the end, Iyade lo nafke, when he says, I never would have gone out. What obviously happened was he started and he left Eretz Yisrael to go to meet the Aron, and, you know, to meet his mother. And it turns out as he was on his way, he realized it was to meet the Aron. And then he said, oh, I never would have gone, which also raises this question, which is going to lead us to today, to what is Kibud Horim B'chayav? The assumption that Mefreshim understood from here is that to greet the Aron, he didn't necessarily need to do, because, yes, there's an issue of Levayat Aron, but that he could have done once it got to Israel already. So it wasn't, he didn't necessarily need to go out to greet it in Chutz La'aretz.
Given how big an issue, how big a problem it is to leave Israel, it didn't necessarily matter.
Exactly, that's the issue. It's if all things were equal, then he should have gone out to greet it. But because it was an issue of leaving Israel, then he shouldn't have done that. At least that's what he thought, right? That's what he says at the end. Had I known, I never would have done this. Again, it could be also we see that he's a little bit to blame because he dilly-dallied, and maybe part of the issue of the story is you shouldn't dilly-dally when it comes to Kibud Ava'im. Like, here he missed this opportunity. You know, we can all imagine this kind of scenario, especially if you have parents who live in other countries, about delaying and trying to figure out, you know, should I, shouldn't I? And obviously, in this case, it was a bad decision on his part. And maybe also it's trying to say, when you have an opportunity of Kibud Ava'im, jump at it, go for it, you know, and maybe it should be more important than leaving Eretz Yisrael if your parent is still alive, and if it means having the chance to see them. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Mechabdo B'chayav U'Mechabdo B'moto. So now we learn that you have to do Kibud when they're alive, and you have to do Kibud when they're dead. B'chayav Ketzad, Hanishma B'dvar Aviv L'makom. If your father is known in a particular place, so lo yomar, and then you go to that place, lo yomar shlachuni b'shvil atzmi, miharuni b'shvil atzmi, ptaruni b'shvil atzmi. If you give any command to anyone to do something for you in that city where your father is well known, you should say elakulu b'shvil abba. You should say shlachuni, go send me off in respect for my father. In other words, instead of saying for me, it should all be more put in the sense of, you know, the wording should be in the sake for the sake of my father. Bimoto ketzad. Hayaomer has, how do we do it in his death? Hayaomer dvar shmua mipiv. If you say something you learned from your father, lo yomar kachamar abba, ela kachamar abba mari. Now, abba mari has two different explanations. It could be abba mari, which would mean my adon, okay? Master, thank you. Or the way we have it, like in benching, Abba Mori, my teacher. So it's different, right? Whether you read it one way or the other. So there's two different ways the Mefreshim read this, whether it's Mari or Mori. Okay, either, you know, both are issues of respect, but one is more my master and one is a relationship of teacher. Abba Mori sounds a little more relevant in this case, even though it doesn't match the text that we have, because it really is his teacher who taught him these things. And not only should you say Abba Mari, but since he's no longer alive, how do you do it? You say Abba Mari or Abba Mori, Hareni Kaparat Mishkavo. Okay, this is a thing, I don't know if you've heard this before, Hareni Kaparat Mishkavo, but it's a term of, I should be a kapara for my father, so that, you know, now here we're talking about, we're going to see now, the Hanemile Tov Shnema Sar Chodesh. Okay, there's this concept that within the first 12 months, and this relates, we're going to see in a minute, talk about Kaddish, why it's only 11 months, but there's a sense that the first 11 or 12 months after the death, so the neshama is still kind of in limbo, and for the Rishaim, it takes a full 12 months till they get judged. For other people, it's less, and that's why Kaddish we only do for 11 months, because if you do it for 12 months, then it's almost kind of saying, oh, well, my father is my parent is a Rasha, and, you know, needs the full 12 months. But here, despite that, we say this term, Hareni Kaparat Mishkavo, for a full 12 months. So in case he is still a Rasha, right, he is a Rasha, then you're saying, I want to take upon myself his Averot so that he goes, you know, he gets a better judgment. Mikam ve'elach omer zichrono levracha l'chaye olam haba. Okay, and we usually say just zichrono levracha. We don't always add this end part, l'chaye olam haba, but we say zichrono levracha, and you can add this l'chaye olam haba according to the text here. So that's a way of respecting your parent in their death. Tana Rabbanan. Chacham mishaneh shem avi v'shem rabo. If a chacham is talking about his father or his rabbi, this is the halakha that you're not supposed to call your parent by name. Now, you should never call them by name. So he would change the name of his father and the name of his rabbi, also out of respect, to call him not by his name. Torgeman eino mishaneh lo shem avi v'lo shem rabo. But if you're the Torgeman, now this is going to be confusing, what are we talking about here? First of all, the Torgeman is the person who is the microphone, basically. The speaker would speak, and since he didn't have a microphone and he couldn't get his voice heard, so the Torgeman wouldn't be a translator. He would be the one who would recite what the rabbi said further to, you know, in a different spot to let everybody hear. So the Torgeman doesn't need to change the name of his father and the name of his rabbi. So now they say, Avu Adaman, which father? His father or the teacher's father? If you're saying he doesn't have to change the name of his own father, then what? He has a unique halacha about kibur aba'im. He doesn't need to change his father's name. Ela amarava shem aviv shel chacham v'shem rabo shel chacham. It means he doesn't need to change if the rabbi, let's say, quotes his father and calls him Abba Mori. So when the Torgeman says it, right, this is a classic, right, when you repeat what someone else says, so what's he supposed to say? Is he supposed to say Abba Mari? Or is he supposed to say Rav so-and-so? Okay, in other words, he doesn't need to change it. He can put it back to what it originally should be. So here's an example. In case you didn't understand, right, the Gemara is giving you a case. Ki hadamar bar Rav Ashi, okay, the son of Rav Ashi, ki ava darish papirka, when he would darshan to the people. Iu amar Abba Mari. V'amore amar, hachi amar Rav Ashi. Okay, he would say Abba Mori, but the Torgeman would say, this is what Rav Ashi said. Tana Rabbanan, here we get to a very famous braita here, which you're probably very familiar with, which is, ezehu mora ve'ezehu kibud, right? What is mora and what is kibud? What's the difference and what are the chiyuvim, basically? Mora, fear of your parents, lo omeh bimkamo ve'lo yoshev bimkamo, you shouldn't stand in his spot or sit in his spot. Or her spot. Velo soter et varav. You shouldn't contradict what they say. Velo machri'o. And you shouldn't say something against lahalacha. Like if his father, right, Rashi says, imayavi v'chacham, acher chalukim b'davar halacha. Okay, if his father and someone else had a disagreement, he shouldn't say, oh, I agree with the other person. Okay, you shouldn't make like a psak halacha against what your father said. Kibud, what's kibud? Ma'achil u'mashkeh, you should feed them and give them drink. Malbish, right, we saw that yesterday with the water. He was giving water to his father. Malbish u'mechaseh, you should have them get dressed. Okay, this is a good question, whether it means provide clothing or actually physically dress him if he can't. Machnich mechaseh, maybe cover him with a blanket or with clothing, with a jacket. Machnis u'motzi, help him get in and out. Right, it's interesting, most of these things seem to be relating to parents at a later stage of life. Right, an earlier stage of life, they don't necessarily need these things, although, you know, you could think about a situation even earlier. Ibayelahu, mishel mi. So now the big question is, whose money? Does this mean you're supposed to go out and buy them clothes and buy them food? Or does this mean you're supposed to use your parents' money to buy them stuff? Okay, Rav Yehuda amar mishel ben. Rav Natan Baruch Shai amar mishel av. Okay, there's a big machloket, whether it's supposed to come from the son's money or from the father's money. Overlay, right? Obviously, these terms of son and father are male, female, anything, right? These are all cases of we already said. Women are chayavon and kibud aba'im the same way, except for when someone actually wrote me about this, and maybe I wasn't clear about this yesterday. But when we talk about a conflict between the parents and the husband, there's two scenarios. One is where there's actually a difference of opinion, you know, like an actual conflict. And one is just that her first responsibilities are for the household. And only when she's finished with her household responsibilities does the kibud aba'im come into play. And it's not necessarily that there's a conflict. It's more that, you know, first she has to deal with her own house. And priorities, right. It's an issue of priorities. Okay, not necessarily conflict. Well, that's not a conflict. That's actually just she can eat kidney. Right. In other words,
it's not a conflict, but it's taking care of the family's take care of your family first and do what your
family. It's more that, right, that she moves into her her new family, that becomes her husband's, you know, minhagim. It's another manifestation of the same kind of thing where she takes on her husband's minhagim in general. That's what people do, although there is room for, you know, some other ways of doing it. But yes. Okay. Rav Nata bar Shaim Rami Shalav. So, Oru le Rabbanan le Rav Yirmiyah, Ve'amri le Leberet Rav Yirmiyah. Okay. The rabbis taught to Rav Yirmiyah or to the son of Rav Yirmiyah. Kemanda Amar Mishal Av. Okay. They said it must be Mishal Av. Okay, but you take it from the father's money. So now they say, Meitivei, wait, there's a contradiction from a braita. Ne'amar kabedet avicha ve'etimecha, v'ne'amar kabedet Hashem mehonecha. Remember this pasuk? So there, here, this is exactly when we referenced this a little bit. We said, it says kabedet avicha ve'etimecha. It doesn't say anything about money here. But when it says kabedet Hashem mehonecha, and we compare the two, what does it say? Honecha means from your money. So mala halam b'chesron kis, afkam b'chesron kis. So the Brite explicitly says, just like there, you're supposed to be at a monetary loss. In other words, you're supposed to use your money to respect God. Also here, b'chesron kis, that even at a monetary loss. V'yamar mishal av, my nafka lemina. And if you say that it comes from the father's money, well, then there's no chesron kis involved. There's no money, financial loss. So now what do they answer? No. Libitul melacha. Okay, this is very interesting. This means that you don't need to necessarily pay from your own money to go buy your father clothing or your mother clothing, but what you do need to do is maybe not work that day, lose money on the fact that you're not working that day, and take the time to go take care of that stuff. And then don't say, well, I have my job, I'm going to lose money for today, I won't make money at my job.
Again, priorities.
Right, priorities, exactly. But this comes before, obviously, you know, you should not have a job and not work at all, but obviously this is a priority. Tashma. Shnei achim, shnei shutafim. Okay, these are different examples. Now we're going to take another thing to say whether this is mishal av or mishal ben. Two brothers or two partners, or, and this is going to be the relevant one, ha'av ubeno, a father and his son, or harav v'talmido, podin ze leze maser sheni, achilin ze leze maser ani. They can be podeh for each other, maser sheni. Do you remember this? When we said, if you're podeh with your own money, then you have to pay the chomesh. But if you're podeh for someone else, then you don't. So even though they're both partners, or even though it's a father and son, or even though it's two brothers, or even though it's a rav and a talmid, they can each be podeh their own, the other's maser, without having to pay the extra. And this is the maser sheni. Umachilin ze leze maser ani. And when they're chayav maaser ani, if the other one happens to be poor, they're allowed to give their maaser ani to the other person. So now, v'i amar mishal ben, nimsa ze poreh chovo mishal aniim. If you say that the son is obligated to pay for the father, then you're basically saying that he's obligated to pay for the father if the father's poor, right? He has to pay for all this stuff for him. So how could he be poreh his chov of maaser ani through his father if he's already obligated? In other words, he has a chov to pay for the father no matter what. He can't use his maser ani for this. So what are the answer? Lo tzricha la ha'adafa. In other words, he's chayav to pay the base, the minimum. So let's say he pays the minimum. Let's say it costs him 100 shekel. He pays the minimum, he's finished. Then he has this maser ani. His father's still poor just because he bought him some clothes. Doesn't take him out of the category of poverty. So now he wants to add extra so he can give him his maser ani. So then they say, Ihachi hainu dekatane ala. This is, we have a braita about this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, tavome era lemishma chilat aviv maser ani. There's a braita that says, he who gives his father the maser ani is cursed. V'ila hadafa mainaf kamina. Afilu hachi, so mainaf kamina. So if we say it's lahadafa, so then how could we say, in other words, how could we say on the one hand he could give it to his father, and on the other hand, he's cursed if he gives it to his father? So what do they say? Afilu hachi zila be milta. In other words, yes, he can do it, but it's not a good thing for him to do. In other words, technically speaking, right, tavome ara l'adam means he's doing something that maybe technically speaking he can do, but he shouldn't do it. It's not appropriate. In other words, his maser ani should go to other people. He's taking care of his father with his other means, you know, and his, if it's just also already l'hadafa, he should give it to somebody else. Tashma, Shalua Rabbi Leizer, Adhechan Kibud Av, Vimamar Lahem, Kadeshi Tol Arnar. Okay, so remember this? They asked him, to what extent is Kibud Av? Vimamar Lahem, Kadeshi Tol Arnaki, Vizrukenu Layam Befanav, Veino Machlimo. Right? It's so that your parent takes your money, throws it in the water, and you don't react. So now again, what's going to be the issue here? If this is what we're talking about, kibud av, and we're saying it's mishal av and not mishal ben, right? You're not supposed to use your money for this. So what does it sound like? It sounds like this source is saying, well, you lost your money on account, right? It's a little different than saying you should pay money out, right? But they're saying, here you see it's a monetary, it's a financial loss for the child. And we just said it's not. So v'iyamar mishal av, v'iyamar mishal av, my nafka lemina. So now they're saying, in other words, if you're going to say, this doesn't make sense either which way, right? If you're going to say it's mishal av, then why should the son care if he threw, right? In other words, actually, it's more of a problem the other way. If you say that they, if you say mishal ben, then it makes sense. Sorry, I think I didn't say that's right before. Let's go back. If they threw your arnak, right? It sounds like it's mishal ben, not mishal av, right? Because it's, you're supposed to take a financial loss. But if it's that the father took his own money, threw it in the yam, so then why would you even care, right? So if you Iyamar Mishal Av, my nafka lemina. In other words, why is that such a big chidush that he didn't get angry? It wasn't his money. So what do they obviously answer? This is what you always say to your kids. It's your inheritance, right? Bira'oili your show. In other words, the father took all this extra money and threw it into the yam, and you're thinking, oh my God, I was supposed to get that money when he dies. Okay, so in other words, it's all connected. So you could still read that source and say Mishal Av. Here's another story. Okay, like the story of Rav Huna. To Rav Huna, okay, Rabba is the son of Rav Huna. Rav Huna kara shirai ba'anpe Rabba birei. He ripped clothing, this nice silk clothing. He tore it right in front of his son's face. Okay, why did he do this? Amar, izel echze iratach ilo ratach. He wanted to test his son. Okay, you have to remember, Rav Huna was a big Talmid Chacham. Okay, so whether he did this when he was young, before he became a Talmid Chacham or not, we don't know. But anyway, he wanted to test his son. He said, I want to see if he gets angry. V'dilma, so now they say, wait a minute, what kind of a test is this? V'dilma ratach, let's say he did get angry. V'ka'avar alifnei ivir lo titei michshol. The father is basically putting a stumbling block in front of the son. He's creating a situation to kind of make the son, you know, slip up. So what are they saying? No, d'machile likre. The demachale likre. Second.
This is, he raised the honor due to him.
Right. He said, right, this is what they're answering. He's saying he was mochel on his kavod in this case, meaning that the son would never really be over on kibud av ve'eim because the father had already said, if he gets angry, I won't be makpid. I'm just curious, will he get angry? But I won't be makpid on my kavod if he does. Strange kind of test, because if the whole idea is to see if he's going to do kibud av ve'eim, but he's saying, anyway, I'm not mochel on my kavod, then there's something a little bit off here. But anyway, he says, demachale likre.
You're interchanging the word kavod and kibud av ve'eim. What we just defined kibud av ve'eim as food and all those other things.
And you're saying this is not, this is more the yira, right? They call it kibud. So first of all, I don't think that that list was meant to be the only things you have to do. As we pointed out, that list really related to elderly parents, whereas clearly you're chayv in kibud avaim even before that. And I, yes, that's a brayta that lays out, and that's why I say it's very famous. So we all think of it. When we think of kibud avaim, we think of that brayta. I think Rashi quotes it, and I think that's why we all know it. But kibud involves a lot more things than that. That was just one source, and that's why we have all these other stories and sources to talk to us about what are other methods of kibud. And I think what they're talking about here is kibud is not getting angry at your parents if they do something. You should still respect them despite.
Can you be mochel on your kavod?
So that's exactly what we're going to discuss today. Yeah. So now we're going to discuss that you can't be mochel on your kavod. Okay, and that's apparent from this story, and we're going to see it further on. It's going to be one of the discussions today, who is allowed to be mochel on their kavod, which we've actually seen in other places. We're going to see it again here. So then he's basically saying, I was mochel on my kavod, therefore it won't be a case of lifnei ivir. And he doesn't answer this, but the Gemara is answering for him. Now they say, but there's a second problem. Hakavar mishum bal tashchit. Right? In other words, he can't just destroy expensive clothing. That's just destructiveness. Or destruction, not the word destruct. I don't think there's a word destructiveness. that's a destructive act. So what do they answer? To avale bapumbiyane. He did it on the seam. Okay, well, if he did it on the seam, maybe that's why the kid didn't get angry when he tested him. In other words, what kind of a test is that if he's going to tear it on the seam? So what do they answer? To avale bashat ritche. He did it when the kid was already angry. Now, there's two ways of interpreting this. Either if he was angry, then he wasn't even going to pay attention. He wasn't going to notice that it was ripped on the seam or not. When you're angry, you don't pay attention to details. You just kind of see he ripped it. Oh, my God, you know, and you overreact. Okay? The other answer is that he noticed it was on the seam, but people, when they're angry, get angry about anything. In other words, even if it ripped on the seam, it would be something. It's a smaller thing because it could be fixed, but it would still get him angry. Okay? And that was the test. So what you see here is that you have to remember again, this is a case where they tell a story and then the Gemara dissects it to figure out, but wait, well, this isn't really good and that isn't good. And they come up to saying, oh, well, the story really must have been this kind of unique situation where he ripped it on the seam and he was mochel on his kavod. Whether that really was true or not is a good question, right? But this is the way the Gemara can't see it any other way. So, because it doesn't fit in with their, you know, their Baal Tashrin, and it doesn't fit in with Lifnei Iver, and as they bring in all sorts of other halachic issues that seem to contradict the story or seem to make the story not so believable, so they therefore answer this unique case. Whether or not that's really what happened is a good question.
And they don't actually tell us the outcome of the story.
Right, and right, so what you do get a sense of is that he stood up to the test, because they said maybe that's why he didn't get angry. But they assume as if he didn't get angry, but we don't really know what happened. Okay, Mani la Rabbi Chezkel Rami Bure. Rabbi Chezkel was teaching his son Breita. A Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Hanisrafim miniskalim. Let's say there were a group of people that were supposed to get Sreifa, and they got mixed up into a group of people who were supposed to get Skila. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yadunu b'Skila. They should all be judged with Skila, Sha Sreifa Chamura, because Sreifa is more Chamura, and we should be Mekel. Amarle Rabbi Yehuda Bure, Rabbi Yehuda, his son heard this and said, Abba, lo titnaya hachi. You shouldn't say it this way. You can see where this is going, right? Not exactly the most respectful way to talk to your father. Abba, you shouldn't read the Mishnah that way. It should be like this. My iria, sreifa chamura. Tepukli, why should you say it's because sreifa is more chamur? Tepukli, deruba niskalin ninhu. Look at the case. The case said, nisrafin got mixed up with niskalim. It must be that there were less nisrafim, and they got mixed up in a group of niskalim, and it should be just dine rov. It should be that there's more niskalim than nisrafim. So we're going to go by the rov. That's what you should have said. So now, Chezkel answers him, Ihachi ema seifa, but what you're saying doesn't match the end of the Mishnah. Because Chachamim Amrim, there's a big machloka whether Sreifa is more chamor than Skila, or Skila is more chamor than Sreifa. We actually paskin Skila, based on Chachamim. But if you notice, the first opinion there said that Sreifa is more chamor, and that's where we're going to judge them by Skila, because it's less chamor. So he says, if you're going to say it's because there were more niskalim in its rov, look at the Seifa. Chachamim Amrim yadunu b'Sreifa, sha'skila chamura. Right? Chachamim say the opposite. They should get Sreifa, because Skila is chamura. So my iria de Skila chamura. Tepukle deruba nisrafim ninhu. So if you're going to say, right, so if you're going to do my area scale, this is who's speaking here at this point? Right, so why would they say, right, if it was all rove, right, that's what he's saying. If it was all rove, then it should be, right, my area, why did they say that skila is chamura? They should have said it's ruba nisrafim. And they should have said, well, we hold that they get Sreifa because the majority were Nisrafim. In other words, that they'd be talking about two different cases. So Amarlei, Hatam Rabbanan hu deka Amarlei the Rabbi Shimon. He's saying, no, Chachamim are commenting to Rabbi Shimon and saying, deka Amarta Sreifa Chamura, lo Skila Chamura. And as they all agree, what he's saying is that there were more Niskalim. Okay, but what he's saying is, you said Sreifa is more Chamura, I disagree with you, and we think that Skila is more Chamura. So they have this discussion about whether you should, you know, whether it was said in the right way or not, whether they should have said that was the reason or not. So Amalei Shmuel or Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel comes now to Rabbi Yehuda and says to him, Shinina, you're a very smart child, but lo teima leila avucha hachi. You can't say to your father in that way. Titanya, Haresh hayao aviv over al divrei Torah. Al yomar lo abba avarta al divrei Torah. Right? If your father is over on divrei Torah, you shouldn't go say to him, Abba, you're doing something wrong. Ella omer lo, Abba, kach katu b'Torah. But you should say, Abba, this is what it says in the Torah. So now they say, If you say to him, Abba, this is what it says in the Torah, saying you're doing something against the Torah, that's also going to get him very upset. So they say, they correct the Braita, and they say, Ella, what this Braita meant to say was, Omer lo Abba mikra katu b'Torah kach. You should say, Abba, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, blah, 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 and then the father will figure out from there that, oh, he's referring to this act that I did that was against what it said in the Torah, and maybe I shouldn't do it that way. Okay, and this is, again, going back to what we said yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the tone and how you say it, and now we're saying it's also how you word things. You have to be very careful how you word things, not to be insulting.
We had a teacher, a lovely teacher, who once taught all the kids that what you say to your parents if you disagree is, Abba, is it possible that? And it was lovely. And the kids would come home and say, is it possible? That's such a nice way of presenting it.
Right. You know, it is a nice way of
presenting it. For as long as it lasted, it was
right.
Great.
This is also good etza for, in general, interpersonal relations, right? Never to go to someone and say what you're doing is wrong, but to kind of intuit, right? People say in general, it's a good way of, you know, you want to make the person come to it, come to the conclusion themselves. It's much more effective when they figure it out themselves than when you
perhaps
tell them.
Is
right.
It, perhaps.
Okay.
Elazar ben... the wrong name, right? Is it possible that my name is Michael, not Alexander?
Okay. Elazar ben Matya Omer. Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim u'mitzvah la'asot. Okay, so here's another good question, right? If your father says, give me some water, and you have a mitzvah to do, Meniach ani kvod Abba v'oseh et ha-mitzvah. Oh, sorry, he says, Meniach ani et kvod Abba, I leave aside kvod Abba v'oseh et ha-mitzvah. Sha'ani v'Abba chayavim b'mitzvah. Because we're both chayavim in the mitzvah, and therefore the mitzvah should take precedence. Right? It's an interesting logic, right? There's, since I'm chayav in kibud avaim, but we're both chayav in the mitzvah, so then we should, clearly the mitzvah seems more important. Isi ben Yehuda omer, Im efshar l'mitzvah, right? This is the good, depends. Okay, that's his answer. Im efshar l'mitzvah le'asot al-yidei acherim, te'ase al-yidei acherim. V'yelechu b'chvod aviv. Okay, he says it depends. If the mitzvah can be done by somebody else, then let someone else do it. But if it can't, then you should do the mitzvah. Okay, now I wanted to read you the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch about this, by the way. The next line is, Amar Rav Matna halacha ki Isi ben Yehuda. Okay, we pass like Isi ben Yehuda, that if you have a mitzvah, and the assumption here is that we're talking about a mitzvah that's, number one, even though it doesn't say this, it's a mitzvah over. It's a mitzvah that you're going to miss your chance to do it. Okay, like for example, Levayat HaMeid, or, you know, dealing with someone who died, where you have to deal with it immediately, and yet you have this mitzvah of Kibud Av in the way. So you are, if there's no one else taking care of the burial, then you can go take care of the burial, and your father will, you know, will have to be mevater in his kavur. You're not obligated. It's not even he has to be mochel. It's that you're not obligated at that point. This obviously relates to the whole osek b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, right? This whole, we learned this in Sukkah, about if you're in the middle of doing one, so then the whole question is, what they point out here is, just want to find it in the Shulchan Aruch, here. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei Siman Resh Mem, in Hilchot Kibud Avaim, says, see if you bet. Amar lo aviv hashkeni mayim, v'yesh lefanav la'asot mitzvah overet, kigon kfurat ha-meit o levaya, im efshar le-mitzvah she-te'asel yidei achirim, ya'asot b'kvod aviv. By the way, it's a good question by levaya, what it means here, if other people can do it. In other words, we always say there's importance to numbers and people, so it's a little tricky. And then the Rama adds something very important. If he already started doing the mitzvah, that's the concept of ha'osek b'mitzvah means. If you're already involved in a mitzvah, then you don't have to, you're patur legamrei from any other mitzvah that comes your way. So that's all, right? If you started the mitzvah, then for sure you should finish it, even if the mitzvah can be finished by other people. Okay? He says, since you already started the mitzvah, you're already in this mitzvah, you don't need to do another mitzvah that comes your way. This is the famous sheet of the Ram, by the way. There's a machloket there, we learned it then, about what it means to osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Let's say you're in the middle, I think the Gemara gives the example, you're dealing with someone's lost item that's in your house that you're supposed to be taking care of, and you're shaking out the rug or something, and then someone knocks at your door to ask for tzedakah. So according to one interpretation, if you could do both, right, you could stop, give the guy tzedakah, and continue doing your mitzvah, and it won't get in the way. But the Ram says, no, you're not even chayav to give tzedakah, because the whole idea, it's not brownie points, how many can you gather? It's state of mind. If you're in the state of mind of a mitzvah, you're already doing a mitzvah, you don't need to be doing any other mitzvot at that moment. So if someone comes to your door to ask for tzedakah, you don't have to give him tzedakah because you're already osek b'mitzvah. And that's what they're quoting here, which is if you're already in the middle of the mitzvah, even if in theory you could stop doing the mitzvah, someone else could continue and you can go help your father, you don't need to because you're already, the Rama quotes the Ran, who says that you've already started the mitzvah and therefore you're patur lagamre from any other mitzvah. V'im ein sham acherim la'asot, the Shulchan Aruch continues, ya'asot b'mitzvah v'yaniach kvod aviv. Okay, if there's no one else to do it, then you can do kvod aviv. But again, the Ram would say that's only if you haven't started doing the mitzvah. Miu im ein zman ha'mitzvah overet, the Rama adds, if it's a mitzvah that you can do later, then ya'asot b'kvod aviv, achar kach ya'aseh ata mitzvah. Okay, then clearly, if the mitzvah can be done later, then you should definitely do kibud av and do the mitzvah later. Okay?
So, if a mitzvah is not the aser and the tibbut, is it...
doesn't make a difference which mitzvah it is. No. All the mitzvot are the same in this sense.
In the brownie points.
Yes, in the brownie... Right, it depends. Again, it's the whole brownie point theory versus state of mind. Okay, he says it. B'glasha osek b'melachto shel makom. Like, you're already in the... That's the terminology he uses. Your head is already there, so you don't need anything else. You don't need more. It's not more, right? It's state of mind. Okay, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shila, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Rav Chista. Ha'av shamachal al kvodo, kvodo machul. Okay, here we have it. If a parent is mochal on their kavod, they can do that, no problem. Harav shamachal al kvodo, ain't kvodo machul, but a rabbi is not allowed to do that. Now we're going to see why. Rav Yosef Amar...
Because they were rabbis.
What do you mean? Because they were rabbis? What? Oh, because they can't. They're not capable? Is that what you're saying?
It's harder to say it about yourself, right?
Oh, because the rabbis parents themselves were saying this, that they shouldn't be mochel on their own kavod. Okay, well, I mean, we could talk about this. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but you could see why. What we're going to get to here is that when you want to be in a position of authority and create an environment, so to a certain extent, you can't be mochel on your kavod, right? Like in some schools, the teachers walk in and everybody stands up. And in other schools, teacher walks in and nobody stands up, right? The teachers are like, that's silly. You know, I don't need that kind of kavod. But to a certain extent, it creates a certain environment. When everybody stands up for the teacher, it creates a certain amount of respect. Sometimes it's not smart for a teacher to be mochel on that. So this is going to be the struggle here. Obviously, all these people that we're going to discuss are authority figures. A father, a teacher, we're going to get to a nasi and a melech. But the question is going to be, where do we draw the line? Who can be mochel? Who can't be mochel? We're going to see the different people draw the line in different places. So the first source we see is the father can, the rabbi can't. Rav Yosef Amar, afilu rav shemachal kvodo, kvodo machul. Okay, even if he does it, it works. Why? Shneamar, v'Hashem holech lifnehem yomam. What did it say in the desert? God went before the people. What did that mean? God was mochel on his kavod. If God can be mochel on his kavod, now we're going to see that mochel on your kavod also means serving somebody else. Okay? We're going to see all these cases now of rabbis who served other people, who brought them drinks. Okay? That's serving someone. And here, God, he basically served the people. You know, he went in front of us and he got out there. He didn't stay in his abode, you know, where God lives, so to speak. And he came down to be with us. So, I'm a rabbi. Hachi hashta, you're comparing a rabbi to God? Hatam a gadosh brachu alma dilehu v'torah dilehu machile likre. God, who's created, you know, the world is his, the Torah is his, he has zchuyot to say, I can be mochel on this. But hacha, Torah dilehi? But does the rabbi own the Torah like God owns the Torah, that he could say, I can be mochel on the kavod of Torah? Basically, a rabbi is a representative of the Torah. If the Torah is not his to say, I'm mochel. So, I'm a rabbi, ain't in, Torah delay. He says, no, actually, in, it is Torah delayhu. It is his own Torah. How do you know this? And therefore, he can't be mochel. Dichtiv ubetorah to yege yomam valayla. What does it say? It doesn't say ubetorah yehege yomam v'layla. It says ubetorah to yehege yomam v'layla. This is a pasuk from Tehillim, which shows that the Torah becomes his. In which case, he does have this chuyot to be mochel on his kavod if he wants. So now they say ini. Is that really true? Now we're going to see a case about Rabbi not being mochel on his kavod, and it's Rava himself. V'harava, mashkabe hilulei diberei. He was pouring drinks, so in a sense he was mochal on his cover. We're going to see what happens. He was pouring drinks at the wedding festival of his son. V'dala kasa l'rapapa l'ravhuna bered Rav Yoshua. He poured cups for these rabbis. V'kamo mikamen, they stood up before him out of respect. In other words, even though he was mochal on his cover by pouring them, they still needed to show him respect, and they got up when he got nearby. L'Rav Meriu, L'Rav Pinchas, B'Reid, Rav Chista, then he poured for these other two rabbis, V'lo kamo mikame, and they didn't get up before him, Ikpid, and he got very angry. V'amar, Hanu Rabbanan, Rabbanan, V'Hanu Rabbanan, Lav Rabbanan? What, are these rabbis rabbis, and those rabbis aren't rabbis? In other words, what, you guys, you know, you think you're so great that you don't have to stand up before me, and you think you're better than those other rabbis? V'tu, and another story, so what do you see here? That he was... that they had, right, that Harav Shemachala Kvodo and poured. Now, it's a little bit different, but he's saying he was mochal on his kavod to pour them, but ein kvodo machul. In other words, they still need to respect him, even though he was like God who went and did that, but you still have to respect him. The two, Rav Papa, now there's a story about a rabbi here, Rav Papa, who has actually appeared in the first story, Havamash kebehi lula da'aba marberei. He also was pouring drinks at his son's wedding. This seems to be the theme. V'dale kasa l'Rabbi Yitzchak b'reid Rav Yehuda. V'lo kam mikamein. He didn't get up before him. V'ikpid. And he got very angry. Afilu hachi hidur me'abed lehu. He still should have done... Now the answer... So this is a question. How can you say harav shemachala kvodo kvodo machul, and yet here they weren't? So what do they say? Afilu hachi hidur me'abed lehu. Okay, so what are they saying? That even so, they have to move a little bit. In other words, they
should have stood up slightly.
Right, no, so, right, exactly. They should have done a little act. In other words, he could be mochel on his kavod that they don't have to really stand up for him, but they should have done a little act of showing somewhat amount of respect. So here we get to also that it's not a matter of yes, no, it's a matter of quality, quantity, you know, like a... that there should be some semblance of respect, even if he's mochel on general kavod, on certain technical kavod. Amar Rav Ashi, afilu lamanda amar harav shemachala kvodo kvodo machul. Now we're going to see, right? So there's a machloket about harav shemachala kvodo. Father or parent, definitely. Rav, yes, some say yes, some say no. But even if you say that harav shemachala kvodo kvodo machul, nasi shemachala kvodo en kvodo machul, but a nasi, remember there was the nasi of the Sanhedrin, okay? He can't be mochel on his cover. Now they're going to say, wait a minute, but we have a story where Nasi was mochel on his cover. Meitive, here's a koshi from a braita. Ma'asebi Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadok, shayu mesubim bebeit ha-mishteh, b'no shababan Gamliel. They were at the beit ha-mishteh of the son of Rabban Gamliel. V'haya Rabban Gamliel umeru mashkeh lehem. By the way, this story should just be remembered in light of who are the main characters here, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, note the position that Rabbi Yeshua takes here. And Rabbi Yeshua was specifically the one who back in Brachot had the whole fight and in a bunch of places in Shas where he disagreed with Rabban Gamliel in public and Rabban Gamliel embarrassed him and made him stand up until they basically kicked out Rabban Gamliel from being the Nasi. So anyway, look what happens in this story. Haya Rabban Gamliel umeru mashkeh lehem. He was pouring them drinks. Natana kos l'Rabbi Eliezer. He gave a cup to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer was unwilling to even take the cup. He said, this isn't respectable. I can't take a cup for Rabbi Gamliel. Nitalo l'Rabbi Yoshua v'kiblo. Rabbi Yoshua took the cup. Okay, notice how he had a little bit, right, less respect than Rabbi Eliezer did anyway for Rabbi Gamliel, or at least the way he, you know, you could read this as that. So immediately, Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, Amarlo, Rabbi Eliezer, Maza Yoshua, Anu Yoshvim v'Rabbi Gamliel, Omeru mashkeh aleinu? How can that be, right? How can we be sitting here and he's pouring drinks for us? So what does he answer him? Amar le matzinu gadol mimenu, sheshimesh Avraham, sheshimesh. Okay, we've seen someone bigger than him who was Mashamish people, Avraham gadol adoraya, v'katubo b'hu omer alehem, right? As he was feeding the malachim who came to him. V'shema tamru kemalachay asharet nidmulo, right? Maybe you want to say, well, they appeared to him as angels. Lo nidmulo elel arvim. In other words, they dressed up as people, and he thought they were just people wandering by. Okay, va'anu lo yehei Rabban Gamliel b'Rebbe Omeru mashkeh aleinu. That's what we're great, right? In other words, if Avram Avinu could do it, then for sure Rabban Gamliel could do it. Amar lahem Rabbi Tzadok. So now the third guy pitches in. Av matay atem nichin kvodosh makom, v'atem oskim b'kvod abriyot. הקדוש ברוך הוא משיב רוחות ומעלה נשיאים ומוריד מטר ומצמיח אדמה ועורך שולחן לפני כל אחד ואחד. ואנו לא יהיה רבן גמליאל ברבי עומד ומשקה עלינו? He says, forget about Avram. Take example from God. God himself does so many things for people. So if God, you know, so to speak, stoops to the level, right, to our world and does things for us, okay, he brings the winds and the rain and he helps everything grow and he puts food on everybody's table. So we're not going to let Rabbi Yom Gamliel be mashkeh aleinu. Iyitmar hachiyitmar. So then they say, therefore, a nasi can also be mochel on his kavod, because you see Rabban Gamliel was mochel on his kavod, which is interesting, by the way. Because if you look at it in light of that story, so first of all, you see that Rabbi Yeshua, right, didn't necessarily respect Rabban Gamliel, at least the way Rabbi Eliezer did. But okay, you could give it in, you know, you could say maybe he was respectful. But Rabban Gamliel, what's interesting here is he dafka was mochel on his kavod, where in the other story, he very much was makpid on his kavod. And yet here, in other words, he distinguished between different scenarios. You know, in certain scenarios, he thought it was important to be a very strong ruler. And in other cases, he was willing to be mochel at his son's wedding, but like, that's not the place. This is, you know, I'm going to go pour the drinks for everybody. So now what do they answer? Eli yitmar hachi yitmar. Amar avashi. Afilu lemanda amar nasi shamachal kvodo kvodo machul. Melech shamachal kvodo ein kvodo machul. Shneamar som tosim alecha melech. Shetehei mato alecha. So now we're going to darshan. The som tosim alecha melech. There's two places we can darshan this. Unclear exactly where we get this drasha. But then a melech has to be makbid on his kavod. He can't. Now, this either you get it from som tasim, because it's the double lashon, or it could have said som tasim lecha melech, and it said alecha. Alecha means on above you. That the melech can never be mochel on his kavod. And again, I think this relates to a matter of his authority needs to be very well established, and because of that, you can't have any mechila on his kavod. Okay, now obviously you ask the question, well, if he's a melech, God is melech machem lachim, so how could he be mochel? You know, but they distinguish between melech machem lachim and melech basar vadam. It could be also that a melech, one possible way of reading this, a rav and a nasi, so their kavod comes from the Torah. And because of that, maybe there was less of a concern of people mocking their kavod, whereas, you know, people respected that in those days, whereas the king, maybe it was less of a, you know, there was more, like kings are like, think about in our day, right? How many people criticize the government, and government officials are always prone to that kind of thing. And you could say that. On the other hand, you can make an opposite argument. I was speaking to someone recently who was telling me that there's a whole, the recent academics are basically trying to show that the rabbis in the Gemara, they make it appear as if the rabbis had ultimate reign over everything and they were, you know, and that really the rabbis were very not central to the whole, you know, the Jewish life in those days, the rabbis were actually not so central. But again, this was written by the rabbis. So maybe, again, the rabbis felt like they didn't have to worry about their authority. On the other hand, it could be, if the academics are really right, I don't know enough about it, I'm really just quoting this, but in someone's name who told me that this is the academic thought these days, it's a very common thing that now that they're claiming that the rabbis were really not so central. And then all the more so, you know, it's questionable, then why were they so willing to be makpid on their kavod if they really, you know, were struggling with that. Okay, we'll do a little bit more and then we'll stop. We're going to start now the issue of Mipnei Seiva Takum. Okay, Zaken, and whether the whole question is going to be, is a Zaken, Zaken in years, or is Zaken, is a Zaken the way we know this Kenim in Torah studies. Ta'ana Rabbanan, Mipnei Seiva Takum. Yachol afilu Mipnei Zaken HaShamayim. Maybe even a Zaken Rasha. In other words, if he's old, he's old. Talmud Lamar Zaken. Ve'ein zaken ela chacham. Shneamar, in other words, it says mepnei seiva takum, but then it also says v'hadarta pnei zaken. So they're going to say, because it says zaken also, it's teaching you ein zaken ela chacham. Shneamar, asfali shavim ish mizaknei Yisrael. Generally, zakenim mean elders who are intelligent, who are chachamim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer, ein zaken ela misha kana chochma. Shneamar, Hashem kanani reshit darko. So a zaken is someone who is kone chokhmah. We're going to ask later on. I don't think we'll get to it today. But what's the difference between them? They both say the zaken has to be chacham. So what's the difference between them? We'll get to that later. Yachol ya'amo mimenu mimakom rechok. You might have thought that that you even have to stand, even if he's far away from you. Talmud lamar takum v'hadarta. Lo amarti kima Ela b'makom sheyesh hidur. There's no hidur involved if the guy's very far away. So you only have to do it if he's close to you. Then you get up for him. Yachol yadrenu b'mamon. You might have thought you have to do hidur b'mamon, like I was thinking about pre-Eitz Hadar. Right, you have to spend money on a nice etrog to get a nice etrog. Right, people spend more money on hidur. Talmud lamar takum v'hadarta. Because the word takum and hadarta appear in the pasuk, right? Mipnei seva takum v'hadarta pnei zaken. This is what we call a tigbolet. Right, they match up. Right, there's a double. This is going to be the whole drasha on the doubling of this pasuk, where you could say it's just poetic, right? But they're darshaning it, and what do they say? Ma kima she'em bo chesron kis, af hidur she'em bo chesron kis. Okay, just like when you stand up for someone, you don't have to spend money on that. So likewise, hidur is only without spending money. You might think, if you're in the Beit HaMerchatz, you're in the Beit HaKiseh, and you see a zaken come in, you have to stand up out of respect. So say, no. Tamud lomar takum v'adarta. Lo amarti kima ela makom she'esh hidur. Right? It's not a place for kavod, basically. So it's not relevant. Yachol yatzim einav kimisha lo ra'ahu. Maybe you could hide and pretend, right? How often can you just basically, right, you see someone, right? Especially kids, I know, they see their teacher and they immediately go the other way as if they didn't see them, right? So you could try to avoid someone if you don't want to show them respect. Tamud lamar, the end of that pasuk says, v'yareta me'alokecha. So it says, mipnei seva takum, and then it says, v'yareta. Davar hamasur lelev, ne'amar bo yareta me'alokecha. In other words, they basically added the words v'yareta me'alokecha here, and this comes up in a bunch of places, where it says v'yareta me'alokecha to teach you. By the way, it's not the takum isn't right near v'yareta. It's mipnei seva takum v'adarta pnei zaken v'yareta me'alokecha ani Hashem. But they're basically saying the pasuk ends with v'yareta to know that this is the davar masur lelev. You have to be fearful of God, not just of man, and therefore don't try to hide from someone so as not to show them respect. Okay. Fine, we'll stop here. We'll continue up with this tomorrow, even though we're kind of in the middle.
So, I have a question.